Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Get excited, Padres fans. Brown is back. Opening day is Thursday, March 26th, and you can hear all of the action on the home of the Padres, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Live from America's finest city, it's the John Cantara Show.
Doctor!
Now, here's the coach, John Cantara, on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, hour number three, a very quick 2 hours to say the least. Thanks again to Alex Miniak joining us the last half hour. The veteran PA announcer out there at Petco Park, and now in his second year as the PA announcer on MLB The Show. Great stuff there. Going to get into talking a little bit about the baseball season. You know, right now, a little bit of mourning. I mean, I think Braden and I, we've been talking off the air quite a bit today about, you know, our regiment has been changed up, like all of you out there. Our regiment has been changed up. A lot of you can't even go to work right now. We're able to go to work, and I'm not sure how much longer we're going to be able to come in here, to be honest with you. We're going to find out a little bit more today and tomorrow, but hopefully we'll join you in studio tomorrow. If not, we'll be on the air one way or the other. We're not going away. But we may be in our home tomorrow. We'll have to wait and see, or Friday or next week. But hopefully you're making the best of it. But, you know, our routine has been, interrupted right now. Kids are out of school. People are out of work. Restaurants, bars are closed. And, you know, we'll get back to it here before too long, hopefully sooner rather than later. At the end of the day, this is supposed to be the night before opening day for Major League Baseball. And we're all getting geared up, and we're going to get our Padre gear and ready to roll down to the East Village tomorrow morning to listen to Ben and Woods on the way. And I was going to come on at 10 o'clock, take it up to 12 o'clock, and Chris Ello would have the pregame show, and then we'd have the ball game, and then we'd have the postgame show. But tomorrow on Facebook, on our Facebook page, which is 97.3 The Fan, we're going to have virtual opening day. And, Braden, it should be interesting. It'll be a matchup between our Padres and the Colorado Rockies tomorrow. And when you and I come on the air at about 12:03, the game will be over. And hopefully we're talking about a Padres win tomorrow.
I was about to say, they better win. I'm going to be very upset. I'm not going to – that's how invested I'm going to be in this thing, because I want to win at all costs. So I'm going to be upset if they lose to the Rockies in this virtual game.
Well, we'll see when the actual baseball season gets underway. But MLB.com tomorrow, and Braden, you can talk a little bit about this, is replaying classic games all day tomorrow for opening day while we're sitting at home. And they've got the San Diego Padres 6-run comeback against the Rockies last year, 2019. And that's going to be kind of cool to see the Padres come back and get everybody fired up.
I know. I can't wait. Get fired up. Get fired up, coach. And be fired up.
Full list of games on MLB.com starting at 5:30 a.m. Pacific time tomorrow.
Yeah, so tomorrow, I mean, the game breakdown, I was looking at it. First of all, they have a Padres game on, I think, MLB Network at like 9 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
It's the 05 opening day against the Rockies. They lose to the Rockies that game 12-10. So if you're interested in watching that game but you don't want to watch the Padres lose, then I wouldn't tune in.
I think that was a walk-off, wasn't it?
I'm not sure. I looked it up today because I was like, all right, did they even win? If they win the game, I might watch it. If they
what
don't
year
win,
was that?
2005. I think it was in Colorado.
You know what? I think that might have been a Clint Barmas walk-off grand slam.
No, that would that. Yeah, see, I don't want to watch that. It's not something I want to watch. They have the San Diego Padres 6-run comeback against the Rockies in 2019. We'll be on Las Mejores Twitter and Padres.com tomorrow night at 6:30 if you want to do that. And then, of course, our virtual opening day, which I'm excited for.
Yeah, Chris Ello promised me a box score from that game tomorrow.
He better have a write-up, too. Full breakdown.
I'm sure he will.
Are we going to break that down in the first segment? Break down the whole game?
Well, I think we have to talk a little bit about it. I want to see if Tatis can get off to a good start, because he certainly wasn't swinging the bat all that well in spring training before everybody was sent home.
I really hope the Padres can win that game on the virtual thing.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, coming up at the bottom of the hour, we got Jennifer Van Grove stopping by today. A lot of good news yesterday on the stadium site out there for San Diego State. They still have to purchase the land, you know, from the city. And, you know, you got everything that's going on right now and daily updates on the coronavirus from Mayor Faulkner. I don't think that's exactly the top of the line item for him right now. And not only that, you're in an election year to where, you know, we're going to have a new mayor. Mayor Faulkner will no longer be the head guy come November. So it's going to be interesting to see how quickly they can move on this, Braden.
That's why they're probably trying to get this done as quickly as humanly possible with the circumstances, just to try to just not have to deal with a new regime going in there, which I can see why you would want to do that.
Yeah, they're going to have to move rather quickly on this. And again, you know, we talked yesterday, you know, they're planning on September of 2022 to host a football game there against the University of Arizona. That would be the first thing that they would look to do. So we'll have to wait and see. And we'll also pick Jennifer's brain a little bit regarding the situation over there with the site of the Pechanga Arena right now, because that seems to be up in the air. Is AEG and Ernie Hahn going to hang on to it, or the other group that owns the Anaheim Ducks, are they going to get in there? You know, who's going to run that facility going forward, and whoever's running it, what's the prospects down the road of building a new arena here in San Diego? Because as bad as we need a new stadium, we need a new arena as well.
Add it to the list of things we need. We have many things that we need. Upgrade the Midway District. They were thinking about bringing a Topgolf in. I mean, I'm all for it. Just somebody start doing something so we can start having some cool things.
Hey, we want to get some phone calls today on the program. Our phone number at 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. We've got our voting going on once again today. We're in the quarterfinals today with the all-time greatest athlete from San Diego. And you had to play high school sports here. You could have been born somewhere else, but if you played high school sports, you were eligible. Braden, you got the update over there?
Yeah, Junior Seau, 71% over Marcus Allen, 28%, which I'm kind of surprised. Tony Hawk, 57% to Reggie Bush's 42%.
Ooh, that's tight. That's fairly tight.
That's the closest one we've had so far. Bill Walton, 76% over Ricky Williams, 24%. Ted Williams, 87% over Phil Mickelson's 12%. It's all on Twitter if you want to go vote. It'll be up till 11 tomorrow.
11 tomorrow, and then tomorrow we'll get into the semifinals. We'll have the finals on Friday. I am really surprised. I'm not surprised that Junior's winning, but I'm surprised he's running over Marcus Allen right now.
I'm surprised, too. There's some people that are confused on, like, what defines, like, best athlete in terms of, like, we're talking overall athleticism, what they did in their sport. I think the majority is what you did in your sport.
Well, it also comes down to the eye of the beholder. I mean, everybody looks at things a little bit different. I mean, you go back to yesterday, Junior was, wasn't he matched up with Charlie Powell yesterday, right?
Yes, yes.
Well, I mean, if you look at what Charlie Powell did, Charlie Powell was the fourth-rated heavyweight boxer in the country. He was a starting defensive end for the 49ers at 19 years of age. And before he did all that, he played 1 year of minor league baseball.
That seems like a well-rounded athlete to me, if you're asking me. But
I mean, I think everybody's got to vote, not just your favorite, but who's the best athlete? Who had the best career? I mean, Marcus Allen had an incredible career, as did Junior Seau. Both those guys played forever in the National Football League.
Yeah, it's definitely we're going to start getting down to some. I mean, even this round was a lot of tough decisions, but we're going to get even tougher decisions in the next round.
For sure. It'll be very tough in the next round, to say the least. Braden, one thing I wanted to bring up, because I spent a little time on it last night. We're jumping around a little bit, but I was looking at Jameis Winston and Cam Newton. Cam Newton gets released yesterday from the Carolina Panthers. Jameis Winston, he got let go by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Hey, let's face it. The Chargers need a quarterback. Okay, you can talk about Tyrod Taylor until I'm blue in the face. Making $7.5 million, and they're moving in, supposedly, to the new stadium there with the Rams. If I had the opportunity to take one of those guys, I would take Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston is still very young. He's only 26 years of age. He doesn't have really a history of injuries at this point in time. And last year, even though he threw 30 interceptions, he threw 33 touchdown passes. And he also led the National Football League in total yardage. I still think there's something there with Jameis Winston, Braden.
I disagree. I am not sold on Jameis Winston. Unless you get him for like a steal of a deal. That's not the guy I want opening up my new stadium. I would do it with Cam Newton. And I know he's older, but I think he would bring a little bit more to the table than Jameis Winston would. I have a problem with the way the amount of interceptions he throws. I mean, you're essentially replacing. What was the knock on Phillip Rivers? He threw a lot of picks.
Right.
He throws for a lot of yards, but he throws a lot of picks. You're doing the exact same thing. So if you didn't want Rivers, why didn't you just? If you didn't want a guy like Rivers, why didn't you just? You know, why would you bring in a guy like Jameis Winston?
Well, maybe because the like Chargers. Rivers. Maybe because the Chargers felt that Phillip Rivers' arm strength isn't what they need right now for their offense. Maybe a guy like Jameis Winston, who's 26 years of age, he's played in 72 career games with 70 starts. He completes 61% of his passes in his career. He's thrown, in his first 5 years, he's thrown for almost 20,000 yards, 121 touchdown passes, 88 interceptions. You know, last year, a rough year on the interceptions. He also fumbled quite a bit last year as well by getting hit from the blind side. But he threw for 5,109 yards last year, 33 touchdowns, 30 interceptions. I don't know. I think if I had the druthers, I think I'd go with him because I think he's a much more, believe it or not, accurate thrower than Cam Newton is.
I'd rather have Tyrod Taylor if the option was between him and Jameis Winston. If it's him, Jameis Winston, and Cam, I'm going to take Cam Newton. In that three.
So you don't think Jameis Winston's even a starter in the NFL?
I don't think he's a. If you're opening up a new stadium and you're going to try to show off LA with Jameis Winston, I think you're sadly mistaken.
How about screwing opening up the new stadium? How about just putting a quarterback back there that you think can win, let alone that's going to sell tickets?
If I'm the Chargers, the biggest thing I need to worry about is selling tickets. It really doesn't matter anything if the team's good or not.
Now, I'm a little concerned about Cam Newton, though. I mean, Cam Newton, I know he went to Atlanta and he passed the physical and all that good stuff. But, again, he has to pass whoever signs him, he's got to pass their physical. And I don't know where he's going to be. Now, is he going to be able to train right away? I mean, is it full steam ahead for him? Or you're going to have to, you know, wean him through training camp and hope he's ready for opening day?
Based on the reports, it sounds like he's ready to go and he's got a chip on his shoulder. That sounds like somebody I want on my team. I want that way more than Jameis Winston. I can tell you that.
Why don't you like Jameis Winston?
I don't like
Jameis.
You
don't like him as a person, right?
No, I've never met the guy. I'm sure he's a nice guy. He's not a quarterback that I want in the National Football League. As a National Football.
He was a number one overall pick.
There's a lot of guys that are number one overall picks that just got cut. Cam Newton was a number one overall pick.
Yeah, I know.
He's not
so
on
was Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah, he's also not on the same team he was before. I mean, I didn't draft the guy, so I don't need to own up to him being a number one pick.
You don't think the guy has talent?
I think he's talented, but I don't think he's good enough to be my starting quarterback. He can go play for the Browns or something. But like, if I'm the Chargers, I don't know why you would replace Phillip Rivers with Jameis Winston, thinking it was going to be a better option.
Well, then that tells me if they're going to go with Tyrod Taylor.
I'd rather have Tyrod Taylor than Jameis Winston.
I wouldn't.
He doesn't turn the ball over nearly as much as Jameis does.
Well, I understand
that. I want a quarterback that doesn't turn the ball over 30 freaking times.
You don't think you can coach him up a little bit? You have no confidence
in the coach?
They had
Bruce Arians last year in Tampa Bay.
It was his first year in the system.
It doesn't matter. I mean, somebody would be able to coach him up.
How many head coaches has Jameis Winston had in 5 seasons there? 3?
Are you making excuses for him now?
No, I'm just saying it'd be nice to see him in the same system for 2 years in a row and a little continuity.
I didn't think he was that great of a player at Florida State. Aside from the national championship,
he won the
run,
Heisman Trophy,
the
didn't
national
he?
Championship run, he did really well. But his last year at Florida State, I thought it was an okay season for him. I didn't think they were that great anyway. I didn't like the Bucs taking him with the number one pick. I thought that was a mistake. It didn't really pay dividends for them anyway. If he was that great of a quarterback, he would have been able to overcome a lot of the situations that he was put in. Granted, he was drafted by a bad organization. That's fine. But now you're
is this his third head coach he's playing for?
You're going to move him, coach, from a bad organization to another bad organization. You expect him to be better than what he was.
That's a very good point. That's the best point of the whole thing.
He's going if you're the Chargers and you bring in Jameis Winston, he just came from a bad organization, has different coaches, you're going to bring him in. Let's say they go, 8-8, 7-9. Do you think Anthony Lynn keeps his job? Probably not. So they're probably going to get rid of him. So now you get Jameis Winston, and now he's got another coaching. I'm just saying it's not worth my time if I'm the Chargers.
Okay, here's the way I look at it, okay? And this is, again, the coach in me. And I think you're also looking at it from a coaching standpoint. I'm a guy that I look at talent. I see Jameis Winston got talent. He's had some off-field issues. That does concern me. The off-field issues in the past concern me probably more than the on-field issues of the 30 interceptions last year. But I do think the kid has talent. I still think he's young. I still think he could be salvageable and have a very nice NFL career in the right situation. And I would hope if I was bringing him into my organization, my coaches would be able to coach this guy up to make him a winning quarterback in the National Football League. But again, that's the old coach in me.
Yeah, see, that's the problem with good organizations and bad organizations is sometimes bad organizations think they can do more than they actually can. Where teams like the Patriots, well, we'll see. Who knows? Maybe they'll take a waiver.
How about if he ends up in the Patriots?
I highly doubt that happening. Because he doesn't fit the Patriots mold.
Yeah, but Belichick's not afraid to take chances on guys that have less than stellar reputations.
I don't think it's more about the reputation. I think it's more of his decision-making.
I think that can be worked on, though.
Trevon Boykin for TC was a phenomenal athlete, had all the talent in the world, but he made bad decisions on and off the field. I mean, eventually, you can't win with... There's not something that, like, this is going to click in his head.
Now,
and all of a sudden,
deal,
it's going to be like, we're going
to
make good decisions.
We got to get to a break, but here's the deal. I think you have to go back and look at all 30 of those interceptions, when they came, what he did, what he didn't do, and do a little evaluation before maybe you go out there and offer him a contract. And we can talk more about that. Also, coming up again at 2:35, we got Jennifer Van Grove, writer for the San Diego Union-Tribune. She's going to join us and talk about the situation with San Diego State and SDCCU.
Callers, stay on the line.
Yeah, and the callers, we got some people online. Stay online. We're going to get to you. And again, if you'd like to be a part of it, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. You're listening to the John Kerr Show right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Uh, 2:25 the time. Thanks again for joining us each and every day. And want to remind everyone, the John Quintero Show is brought to you by SDG&E. If a storm hits and your power goes out, make sure you disconnect electronics and appliances that could be turned back on automatically when your power is restored. This will help prevent damage. Get more tips at SDG.com/safety. We've got Jennifer Van Grove coming up from the San Diego Union Tribune to talk about the SDCCU stadium site regarding San Diego State. I want to read this, then I'm going to get out to Carl and Brad here. Mark Ashbrenner weighs in. Coach Quintero, a big no on Jameis for me, Coach. Go look at all those interceptions, and it's still a huge number. He goes, I heard at Matt Scraby say that if it wasn't for the bad hands on the DBs in the league, it could have been 50-plus picks. So, very good, Mark Ashbrenner. Keep those tweets coming. And, again, if you'd like to tweet us during the show and check out everything on our Twitter at 97.3TheFanSD. I did a Twitter chat earlier this morning. Go on our website or on our Twitter at 97.3TheFanSD and check that out. Let's get out to Carl in Lakeside. Carl, welcome to 97.3TheFan. How are you today?
Doing great, Coach. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Great to have you.
All right, great. Well, I was kind of jonesing for some live sports this weekend besides watching, you know, repeat Super Bowls and whatever.
Right.
And I'm not really a big NASCAR fan, but I got turned on to this iRacing on Sunday afternoon with all the drivers racing from their simulators at home.
Uh-huh.
Thought I'd give that a try. It was actually kind of cool. Something to sit down and have a couple beers and watch the TV at.
Oh, that's great.
I was just wondering what your thoughts on that whole thing was.
Well, you know what? I think all different walks of life, in athletics especially, we're all trying to figure out, you know, how to keep people engaged and have some fun. I mean, a lot of people are sitting at home, Carl, as you and I are talking, and they're sitting on their patio, they're sitting in their living room, they're listening on the radio or on the radio.com app. And, you know, hopefully each and every day we come in here, and, you know, Braden and I, we put our heads together, and we do hopefully better than just put a rock garden together when we put our heads together. We try to come in here and come up with different topics to talk about, but, you know, I think each and every day it's a challenge. I'm not saying that we're running out of topics because every day something turns up, but, you know, it's a challenge because we don't have games to break down or talk about and evaluate and get people on. But, you know, I think every industry, whether it be, you know, Major League Baseball, the NFL, the NBA, NHL, you know, NASCAR, everybody's trying to keep their brand out there. But I think that's really cool when they did it on the simulators. I think that really probably opened up a lot of people's eyes to NASCAR that has never paid one second attention to NASCAR.
Right. Yeah, another thing was I've been hearing you guys talking about this virtual opening day, you know,
right,
tomorrow's supposed to be opening day. And I'm not sure what the viability of this is. There's, you know, having a player or two from each team going on, I don't know, PlayStation or something, and playing each other on that. I'm not sure if they'd be able to broadcast it or not, but I thought that'd be pretty cool if they could do that.
You know what? I don't know what the legalities are on that, but, you know, ball players are human beings. And, you know, if two guys, one from different ball clubs, wanted to do that, I think it'd be absolutely fantastic. I think the fans would eat it up.
Yeah, I do too. I just don't know the viability of that. I don't know.
Well, you know what it comes down to.
You guys talking about the virtual opening day. I'm not sure what that's going to be all about. But
well, you know what? Tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, you go on our Facebook page, 97.3 The Fan, and you're going to be able to watch a virtual opening day. And I'm hoping that Fernando Tatis Jr. laces one into the left center field gap his first time up.
That'd be awesome, Coach.
Hey, good phone call, Carl. Some really great ideas, and thanks for sharing.
Thanks for having me on, Coach. Talk to you soon.
Great stuff. Let's talk in Brad in Rancho Bernardo. Brad, you're next up with Coach John Quintero on a Wednesday. How are you?
Good, Coach. Hey, Brad. How are you guys doing?
Doing great today. Thanks.
Hey, good. Hey, I was listening to your stadium questions, and I've been in San Diego since 1970. Only problem we're running with a bigger stadium is we just don't have the corporate headquarters here anymore to write big checks. I know you got the casinos, but that's going to be hard to get bigger than the 35,000. So I think we just got to realize we're going to be a college town going forward and be good with that.
You know, the sad part about that is I don't think this ever really been a college town.
Well, back in the day when we moved here, going to an Aztec game, they filled Jack Murphy Stadium.
Yeah, but that was 1977.
I know. And then from that point on, you're right. We've got a lot of other diversions in this town. Always have.
And not only that 1977 team, that, in my opinion, is the best team Aztecs have ever had in the history of the school.
No, I agree with you. And then the Chargers came, and they were prolific scorers. They just didn't have a defense. I felt sorry for Dan Fouts. I felt sorry for Rivers.
Well, the Chargers were already here. I mean, that one year, and I think it was only 1 year, the Aztecs actually outdrew the Chargers back in the day.
Yeah, definitely so. And I think as far as the Chargers go, and I gave up on them last year, is they need a quarterback with a name appeal, and Jameis Winston may be that guy who put some butts in the seats because they just need something. Without getting Brady, I think they lost a huge opportunity.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes. Jameis Winston's going to get a job. I don't know if it'll be as a starting quarterback. He's going to have to kind of, you know, I think regain the trust of an organization that signs him. Cam Newton's going to end up somewhere. But Jameis Winston, I do think has talent. He's only 26 years of age. He's been in, you know, a bunch of different systems. I think he's had three different coaches there in Tampa Bay. And, you know, maybe if that kid gets some stability on the field with, you know, a continuity of coaching, maybe he can go on and have a nice NFL career. He's already thrown for just under 20,000 yards in his first 5 years.
Yeah, and he's pretty versatile. You need a quarterback. And Rivers' problem was rushing from the outside because he's never going to run. And so he just ran into a limited amount of offense. That's too bad with him. He just didn't have any flexibility in going outside.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes. They're going to be interesting to see where each one of those guys end up. Hey, Brad, really appreciate the call.
Coach.
Thanks.
Take care, man.
All right. How about those two phone calls, Braden? Back-to-back A-plus phone calls
Absolutely.
On a Wednesday.
I like that that iRacing thing was kind of fun. They were getting really into it, too. The drivers, like when Denny Hamlin won, he was very excited that he won that race.
Well, we're going to get to the bottom of the hour. When we come back, Jennifer Van Grove, reporter and writer for the San Diego Union-Tribune, will update us on the SDCCU stadium site going forward for San Diego State. But right now, 97.3 The Fan is helping San Diego stay connected. Here's your latest news update from Radio.com. .238 the time, going to the top of the hour. Gwen and Chris will be in from 3 to 7. Again, tomorrow on our Facebook page, which is 97.3 The Fan. Go to that at 10 o'clock. We're going to have the virtual opener right here on 97.3 The Fan Facebook page. And you have an opportunity to watch the ball game. And we'll see how the Padres fare against the Colorado Rockies. Virtual opening day tomorrow on 97.3 The Fan. And, of course, I'll be back in tomorrow at 12 o'clock, and we'll have you for a full 3 hours. Also, before we get out of here, we'll update you on the voting in our quarterfinal matchups today regarding greatest athlete of all time from San Diego. And one of the matchups today got Junior Seau going against Marcus Allen. So you can go on Twitter, or you can call the program. You can go on Twitter until tomorrow morning, and then it'll kick it over, and we'll get into the semifinal matchups tomorrow. But our Twitter, at 97.3 The Fan SD. Also, I want to remind everyone, this portion of the show is brought to you by Land Rover. Take every journey to the next level during the Own Adventure sales event happening now until March 31st. Visit your San Diego County Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport Land Rover above and beyond. And I would also encourage you to hang in there with us at 2:50 today. We're going to have our Hang a Star play of the day, and a very, very special one, just like our next guest that's going to join us. Always been great to our program. We welcome once again from the San Diego Union-Tribune on our SDCCU fan hotline, Jennifer Van Grove. Jennifer, welcome, and hopefully you and the family are well.
We are doing great. Thanks for having me.
Great having you. And yesterday, it looked like San Diego State got some pretty good news going forward. They still have to go out there and purchase the land from the city, but the state signed off and basically said move forward.
Yeah, and I that wasn't really a surprise. I think, you know, maybe the question mark was whether the CSU Board of Trustees, which governs San Diego State and will govern the project moving forward, I think the only question mark was whether or not they would be able to meet under these circumstances and whether or not they'd prioritize this. But it seems like everybody within the CSU system is all hands on deck as far as this particular project goes. So, yeah, so they have the board's approval to spend $310 million on this 35,000-person stadium. And they have the board's approval from a previous meeting to buy the land based on the offer that they had previously made. I think the big question mark is whether or not, you know, not whether or not things will come through at the city level, just when they will come together.
Jennifer, take us back and kind of get us caught up on everything right now with San Diego State and the city. Where are we at on a price? That seems to be kind of still being negotiated, right?
Well, the price isn't in negotiation. However, there are factors that could change that price. So the closing date, for instance, could change the price, and that's just because of how things are structured. The price right now, $87.7 million, that's the base purchase price. And that's not going to change. That's not up for discussion. I think what is up for discussion are some very in the weeds details that maybe, you know, most people don't necessarily care about, or maybe they do, but at the city level, there is a lot of concern. Concern is not the right word, but there is definitely an interest at the city level to make sure the contract is, you know, strong and protects the city's interests. And also as far as, you know, affordable housing on site, make sure that the city has some sort of governing capabilities. So there's these really Some might call them minor, some might call them major, but there are these really in the weeds issues that do still require negotiation, that will still require city council to direct city staff on how they want to proceed. And so that's kind of what the slowing down is at that level that we're noticing, because, you know, the city isn't the city council isn't meeting to hear these things right now. And even then, I don't know that the negotiating teams have come to an accord. I do know they're still meeting, probably virtually, and they're both sides are saying they're making progress, but they are not to the point where they have a close to final purchase agreement. There's still some underlying issues. Price is not one of them, but there are still some issues that need to be sorted through. And I guess, you know, they're leaving it up to the lawyers primarily at this point.
We're visiting with Jennifer Van Grove, who works for the San Diego Union Tribune, does an incredible job in the business section, right at the top of the front page of the business section today. SDSU gets $310 million to construct stadium. What's the total cost anticipated with a purchase of the land and building the 35,000-seat stadium and, you know, whatever they're going to build around it? What are they anticipating the final number being in the neighborhood of?
$3 billion, but that is the – so when I say $3 billion, it's not the stadium and the land. It's the stadium, the land, it's the housing, it's the hotel, it's the innovation center. So that's all in, and that's, you know, at build out in 2037. The stuff that we're talking about in the most immediate future, I think is closer to $700 million. And that's the university's expenditure for the stadium, for the land, for infrastructure costs, for the money that they've committed to spend on city infrastructure and for getting the site ready for virtual, not virtual, for what's the word I'm looking for? Not horizontal, but vertical construction. Oh my gosh, I'm losing my mind. but they've got to do a lot of work to that site to get it ready for vertical construction, which would presumably be taken on by a third-party partner developer. And then they've also committed to spending $54 million on a very beautiful river park. So their all-in cost, I think, for the next chunk of years is probably closer to $700 million. But if you're looking at the total project cost, which includes the 4,600 housing units and the million square feet of office, or 1.6 million square feet of office, that's closer to $3 billion. But a lot of those costs will be absorbed by whatever partners that they bring in.
Jennifer, who's the point person from the city dealing with San Diego State on this?
I believe the point person is Sabelle Thompson, who runs the real estate office for the city of San Diego. I mean, they also have, they've hired a law firm to kind of help with the contractual stuff, but she's, I believe, kind of the key person from a city real estate perspective.
Okay, my question, I do want to get the Pechanga Arena side here in just a second. I know we only got a couple of more minutes, but my question, you know, we have no idea when everything's going to get back to normal. I mean, Mayor Faulkner right now is more worried about, you know, taking care of the people here in the city. And, of course, you know, the county people are getting taken care of by their people right now. But, you know, Mayor Faulkner's not going to be the mayor. You know, after the election in November, we're going to have a new mayor. You know, how quickly can they continue to work considering what's going on right now? And with changing over leadership at the mayor's office, yeah, what's that going to do to where they're at right now?
You know, honestly, I don't think the changeover in the mayor's office would have too much of an impact on this deal at this point. It is too far along. I think where you could potentially see a hiccup, and this is very speculative on my part, is change at the district level. So council members coming in maybe who want to take another look at this contract. Like if this extends into next year, which, you know, I don't think anybody wants it to, but there obviously is that possibility since normal operations aren't, you know, going as planned. So if there's changeover in the council districts, that's where you could see some issue if council members come in and they have questions that haven't necessarily been answered. But I don't think at the mayoral level, you know, some sort of transition there is really going to upend this deal at all, because there's too many people involved at the staff level. I believe, you know, the mayoral candidates are all supportive of this project.
Jennifer Van Grove of the Union Tribune, our guest here on 97.3 The Fan. I just want to ask you, going forward, who's going to be controlling Pechanga Arena going forward? Is it going to be the group of AAG and Ernie Hahn, or the folks that own the Anaheim Ducks? Are they going to get the opportunity to run that arena? What's going on with that right now? And whoever gets it, are they going to be in line to have a new arena at some point?
Well, I can't answer that for certain, but what I can tell you is the city told me today that they're currently in a solicitation process, meaning the 54 acres that includes the sports arena, that is out for development bids. So companies can come in and put together their best proposal of how they want to use that site, and they can get really creative as far as use. There are some limitations as far as height restrictions, and there does need to be an arena on that site. But, you know, it's open to anyone at this point, any enterprising developer, real estate company to come in and say, I have a completely new in for these 54 acres. And then I think their bids are due in June. And then the city will have to kind of make a decision from there. They'll invite the public in to see the presentations. But from what I heard this morning, that process is continuing as planned. I don't know if interest will be impacted because of, you know, the situation that we're in now, but the city has not put that process on hold. So that land is still up for lease. And we're talking about a lease, not an ownership. So it would still be the city's land. But there's so much opportunity there for someone to come in and build a new arena. The question mark that I have, though, is council member Jennifer Campbell and council member Chris Kate had kind of aligned in this vision of getting something to the ballot in November that would remove the 30-foot coastal height restriction, which would be key to having a new stadium there. No developer is going to come in and build a stadium that's 30 feet or less. The existing stadium is taller than that, or arena is higher than that. So I don't know if that effort has been paused. And both those council members really felt like they needed to get that on the ballot for voters so that that could kind of free up what gets to happen with this piece of property. And I haven't heard back from them as to whether, you know, that could even still be on track right now.
Well, hopefully we're going to keep moving forward with a new 35-seat stadium and all the
35,000,
I mean, yeah, and all the bells and whistles. And hopefully sooner rather than later we get a new sports arena as well. Jennifer, as always, thanks so much for the time, and stay well.
Of course. Thank you for having me, Coach.
There you go. Jennifer Van Grove, a reporter and writer, and does an incredible job for the San Diego Union Tribune, joining us on our SDCCU fan hotline. And SDCCU remains open. Rest assured, your funds are federally insured by the NCUA. And for details or to find a branch open near you, visit SDCCU.com. With that, let's get to a very special Hang a Star Play of the Day.
What play separated the winners from the losers? It's time for the Hang a Star Play of the Day.
You can hang a star on that, baby!
A 97.3 The Fan.
Ground ball sharply past the dive of the third baseman Longoria for Fernando's first major league hit. It is first major league at bat. How about that, boy? They love it. They love it. And what's not to love?
That was the Hang a Star Play of the Day on the John Cantara Show on 97.3 The Fan.
And if I'm not mistaken, his second time up, he laid down a great drag bunt down the third baseline and could have walked or even crawled to first base.
That is correct.
All right. Well, we've got a gentleman in here that once upon a time got his first major league hit, and that's Tony Gwynn Jr. And Tony, what was your first major league hit?
My first major league hit was a double off of Brian Wilson.
Oh, really?
Yes, and what they call Oracle Park now.
Brian Wilson.
Yes.
He was an interesting creature, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, to say the least. This is before he started closing. I think he was setting up at the time. He was setting up. I can't remember who he was setting up.
Well, he had a couple of really, really good years till his arm failed him.
I mean, he his usage rate was quite – was up there for a little bit. You
know? He always wanted the ball.
He did.
And you got to give the guy credit. It probably shortened his career, but he wanted to take that baseball.
That's that mentality, that closer's mentality. Give me the ball, go to however many innings you need me to go, close out the game.
Well, and the thing is, Bruce Bochy, you know, kept bringing him out of the bullpen, but Bruce Bochy also is a guy very careful about not wanting the guys to have surgery. I remember one time, Linebrink here in San Diego, he'd pitched three nights in a row, and I go, Bochy, is Liney ready to go tonight? He goes, Coach, I don't want him to have surgery. We're going to give him the night off. That's what he said to me.
I mean, that's Boch for you.
Right.
I mean,
he protected his ball
players. He definitely
protected.
I didn't mean that to say that he didn't protect his players. Just, you know, they were in positions to win so many games during that, what, five-year stretch. That's kind of the nature of the beast.
You ready for the virtual opening day tomorrow?
Yes, I will. I'm looking forward to that. 11 o'clock tomorrow. Right?
Well, 10 o'clock, I think. First pitch at 10 o'clock, yeah.
I better make sure I get that time right. I don't want to be late.
You're like one of those players, man. A good ball player, you got to make sure you know the time of the game, and do you need a ride to the ballpark?
No. No need to ride this time. I should be good. A lot of interesting ways to kind of pass the time right now. Kids are driving us crazy at the house.
Yeah, well, I don't have that problem. I can't even see my grandkids. Yeah. I think we're going to do a little FaceTime with them tomorrow night, and we'll see where that goes. But think about this. I was telling Braden earlier, you know, right now I got my Padre pullover on, and I'm all fired up. And, you know, we're going to be down in the East Village tomorrow for opening day. And tomorrow's going to be a sad day. I mean, we got a lot of things. We got a lot of other things we're thinking about right now. But man, the great American pastime's being delayed right now.
Yeah, no, I didn't even think about it. Right, tomorrow would be opening day.
Right,
and you know, there's much bigger fish to fry right now than worried about
opening day.
But when you are able to kind of sit down and think about what you would be doing right now, I mean, all of us would be getting ready for opening day tomorrow. So I think tomorrow when 1 o'clock hits, we'll all be like, man, opening day like really is not here right now. It's really delayed and probably for the foreseeable future.
Well, I heard the program, and Chris, you were right there yesterday. Chris promised me tomorrow when I come on the air, I'm going to have a box score from the virtual opening day on Facebook.
You will. You will definitely have a box score.
I don't go to bed without box scores.
You will have a box score. It's going to be fun. I mean, we're going to try to find a way to keep things interesting. We got our Stratomatic season kicking off tomorrow as well. So if you don't get a box score from the Facebook, you will definitely get one from the Stratomatic.
Hey, we've got about a little over a minute to go. What do you guys got planned for the next 4 hours?
AJ Cassavell will join us today.
Good.
We'll have Bethel Duran talking a little bit about what he's got going in LA. He's into baseball cards right now. So
really?
Yeah, he's been shooting me texts with old.
What time's he going to be on today?
I think he's on at Beto. What time is Beto on? 5:20.
5:20. I'm going to make sure that I'm going to run a couple of errands here before I get home today, and I'm going to be safe when I'm doing them. But I want to hear him. I'd like to hear what he had to say about those baseball cards.
We're also going to have a segment, hopefully towards the last hour, best MLB prospects we've ever seen over the course of time.
Oh.
The best are some
guys, they may not have necessarily made it either.
Exactly. And we've seen some of these, somebody on ESPN, some of the writers wrote about it. Some of the best prospects they've seen. So we're going to kind of discuss that a little bit.
Well, Gwen and Chris, coming up after the top of the hour, thanks to manager Dave Roberts of the Dodgers, Alex Miniak, public address announcer of the Padres, and MLB The Show, and thanks again to Jennifer Vangrove. For Braden Soprenant, Coach John Katera, Gwen and Chris, coming up next. We'll talk to you again tomorrow at high noon on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Get excited, Padres fans. Brown is back. Opening day is Thursday, March 26th, and you can hear all of the action on the home of the Padres, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.